Jamal Collier, where does this story begin?
Pablo, it's just a little over a week ago. The Bulls had just beat the Orlando Magic. They'd won their eighth game in a row. And DeMar DeRozan was just really pissed.
Jamal Collier covers the Chicago Bulls for ESPN.
He went back to the locker room, just upset at his performance at the free throw line. He missed a few down the stretch for the chance to close the game.
In the first half, when I missed a couple, I was like irritated as Then second half and the way the game ended, I was just already frustrated.
Billy Donovan's addressing the team postgame, and DeMar's already made up his mind. He's going back out to the court. He's going to shoot free throws. Now, he grabs a player development coach for the Bulls to go out and shoot with him. And somebody on his way out, they remind him, hey, there's a Blackhawks game the next night. They're flipping the court, United Center, from a basketball arena to a hockey rink.
I told one of the coaches, like, you know, I'm about to go out and shoot free throws. They was like, man, they taking up the floor. I said, well, I'm going to shoot until all the floor is gone.
And DeMar is just like, you know what? I'm going to shoot until the floor is gone. The whole time, I think he could hear his father's voice in his head. You know, his father, Frank DeRozan, there's nothing that he would ride his son harder about than missing free throws. I mean, he would call him and just cuss him out after missing free throws. Mm.
He used to say, man, it was a dollar every time I missed a free throw. Like, he used to be on my head about free throws. And when I stayed out there and shot free throws, like, only thing was in my mind was like, my dad would kill me if he see me miss these many free throws.
Going out there and seeing the ball go through the net, feeling that repetition, he wasn't going to be able to sleep until he went out and shot some free throws. That story is really emblematic of the DeMar DeRozan that we're seeing this season. He's a perfectionist, yeah, but he also really feels like the Bulls, this is a second chance. And he sees an opportunity to get to his first finals.
What's the ceiling on this team, man?
I believe championship, man. If we healthy, we got the capability, the talent to do it. You know, like, why not us?
The single most surprising MVP candidate in the NBA this season basically spent a dozen years hiding in plain sight. Yeah, DeMar DeRozan was an all-star in Canada, and yeah, he was a lot better than you think hidden away in San Antonio. But now in Chicago, the guy isn't just leading the Eastern Conference, he's feeding a championship hunger that dates back to the glory days of the 90s and Michael Jordan. So today, with the Bulls hosting the Brooklyn Nets tonight on ESPN, Jamal Collier tells the story of how DeMar DeRozan and these Bulls have somehow become the best versions of themselves. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, January 12th. This is ESPN Daily.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Jamal Collier, when you became ESPN's Chicago Bulls beat writer at the beginning of this season, did you expect to be covering the best team in the Eastern Conference? Like, what is the mood in that city right now with this team experiencing success for like the first time in pretty much a decade?
I'm honestly just not sure, Pablo, that it's possible to overstate just how excited Bulls fans are just for something to cheer for, right? Like, this franchise hasn't sniffed the playoffs in 4 years since they traded Jimmy Butler. Top of the Eastern Conference, I mean, you're talking about the height of the Derrick Rose era.
Like, yes,
the United Center is loud, it's full. It's a fun style of basketball. Lonzo's just throwing cross-court passes and alley-oops to some of the best dunkers in the league. Zach LaVine, Derrick Jones. You know, DeMar DeRozan's getting MVP chance. Even Alex Caruso's getting MVP chance.
Yes.
When he's on the floor. The Bulls are fun right now and one of the best stories in the NBA early on.
Yeah, and so some of the names you mentioned, they're key to the story. Zach LaVine, Lonzo, all those guys. But the story that I bring you here today for, Javal, the guy you wrote about for ESPN.com, is DeMar DeRozan. And DeMar DeRozan, for the record, right, this is a guy we should know. He's a four-time All-Star. He was excellent for the Raptors for a really long time. Got traded to the Spurs in the Kawhi Leonard deal, which we'll talk about in a second. But let's be honest, those markets are not Chicago. Like, Toronto and San Antonio aren't of this spotlight in terms of the size. And so I think there are a lot of people out there who really do need to get acquainted with him. I need to refamiliarize myself with his story. So where is DeMar DeRozan from originally? How has all that shaped his game this season?
DeMar was born in Compton, and one of my favorite lines from talking to his trainer, Chris Farr, who really was like, DeMar, he's got a little Louisiana in him. Because in Louisiana, they got gumbo. Gumbo is just sort of a mixture of all these different things and different experiences. And I think that that's what we're seeing from DeMar, just a culmination of so many different experiences.
DeMar DeRozan, six to go, got all the way to the bucket.
He really came, you know, into his own in Toronto, making the All-Star team, spending years knocking on the door of the finals, only to kind of get repeatedly bullied by LeBron James teams.
DeMar DeRozan was nowhere to be found. Ultimately, they had to succumb to the greatness of LeBron James.
Then he gets traded to San Antonio.
Toronto is finalizing a deal with San Antonio to acquire Kawhi Leonard. DeMar DeRozan would go from Toronto to the Spurs.
Kawhi is going the other way, and he's playing in the aftermath of this Spurs dynasty. And I think a lot of people that I talked to for the story mentioned, like, maybe nobody was really watching DeMar in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Because he really starts to make some leaps and changes to his game.
And then a bullet pass from DeRozan, and DeJounte slams it home.
Great awareness there from DeMar.
Some of them are subtle. He's still the same mid-range scorer that we know and have seen on the stage for a long time. But really, a lot of them make his game flourish into the player that he's been for the Bulls this season.
Oh, what a move by DeRozan. Stop it, DeMarvelous.
Woo, that was sweet.
You mentioned before, Jamal, that DeMar is now getting legitimate MVP chance at the United Center.
Let the chance tell the story.
And he's leading all guards in the Eastern Conference in All-Star voting. He is 32 years old. I mean, he's been in the league for 13 years now. How has his game evolved in that span of time?
That time in San Antonio ends up being such an important stop in his career. And it's ironic because, you know, he never planned on being there.
I didn't want to leave Toronto. I thought I was going to be there for life. So you snatched me away from that and put me in something that I never even would have thought I would have been in. So now it's like, nah, you here. You have no choice but to figure it out.
He gets there to the Spurs, and right away, Greg Popovich just challenges him. DeMar tells the story of one of the early on in shoot around through his first season with San Antonio. Pop announces to the team before they take the court and shoot around, DeMar's running point. And you can just see the confused look on DeMar's face. I mean, DeMar's a scorer. DeMar's been a 20 points a game scorer every year since like 2013. And all of a sudden, he's being asked to do something out of his comfort zone.
I'll never forget, we was in shoot around and he'd let it be known, like, DeMar is the point guard. And it's like, you know what I mean? Now you gotta understand how everybody on your team, their capabilities, their strengths, their weaknesses, and how I can help them.
For him, rather than sort of pout about being the situation that he didn't want to be in, out of a respect for Popovich, this Hall of Fame coach who was sort of presenting him with these challenges, he took it head on.
You can't make careless passes. You can't just dribble, dribble, dribble. You got to be efficient with everything you do. Every dribble got to be efficient. Every drive, every screen or roll, everything got to be approached from an efficient standpoint.
And it really made him a more complete basketball player. In Toronto, you know, his mindset was score, score, score. I mean, he even says, like, I would shoot 30 times if I needed to, if I thought that's what we needed to win. That was his mentality. Now he had to learn how to read the game completely and just really be more intentional about everything he does on the floor. One of the things that he said was just like, you can mess around with the piano.
You could mess around with the piano. You play the piano long enough, you're going to get better at it. You know what I mean? You're going to understand certain keys a little bit better. That's how I look at my game, and that's how I always want to approach my game, to where as long as I play, I want to continue to get better.
That's something that he learned from Kobe Bryant, you know, that as long as every year you play in the league, try to just get better at one thing, improve at one thing a season. And it might be passing, it may be free throw shooting, it may be passing out of a double team, whatever it is. And then by the end of your career, 13 years in, now you've gotten better at X amount of things. And I think that, that's been the thing that's stuck with DeMar here this entire time.
So DeMar DeRozan, this all-star who has gone from a guy who we know as like a volume shooter specializing in like the mid-range stuff, he's turned into a guy who can play point guard some in San Antonio. And while all of that is happening, as you chronicle it for us, his personal life is undergoing its own pretty dramatic evolution. What happened?
It was really a tough past few years for him. He was super close to his father, Frank, and all 3 years while DeMar was in San Antonio, Frank is battling many long-term illnesses. At the time, in between games, practices, really whenever he got a spare moment, he would fly back to Los Angeles just to be with his father as much as possible.
In San Antonio, you know, in between games, I would fly home and I try to enjoy as much as I could with him, you know what I mean? He couldn't come to games, you know, and every opportunity I felt like I could get, you know, I just wanted to sit by him. It was times I just flew home. He didn't even know I was there. I just sat next to his bed for hours.
DeMar was so, so grateful to the Spurs for allowing him that grace. Popovich never put any pressure on him, let him come and go as he pleased. I mean, Popovich kind of urged him, just go. And, you know, DeMar, I think in this sort of way, his personality is, he never wanted to let himself become a distraction. He never wanted to miss a game or let his absence take away from anything on his teammates. So he would fly back and play.
The emotional toll to now you got to hop on a plane again by yourself and fly and play in a game, you know, off 2-3 hours of sleep. You know what I mean? Like, I was doing that so frequent.
And that was pretty much going on the entire time he was in San Antonio up until his father passed away last February.
Jamal, DeMar DeRozan has always seemed sort of quiet. I'm wondering if he shared with you any memories, personal memories that he had of his dad.
Yeah, Frank DeRozan was a tough man. DeMar says he's the only person that he was ever actually terrified of. But he really, I think, like imparted some lessons in his son that still stick to him to this day. One of the favorite stories that DeMar told is this time that they're playing one-on-one. And now, mind you, DeMar is like 10 years old at this time. And his father is a big dude. He used to play football. And Frank accidentally busts his younger son's lip.
I remember I got so upset. He was like, nah, you lost already. You upset. You know, yeah. He was like, nah, you lost already. He just wasn't, he wouldn't let me score after that. He kept blocking my shot. Like, he was just, like, put me through it to where I got to a point to where I just, like, on some he got game type of stuff. Yep. I kicked the ball over the fence and said, man, I don't want to play no more. And I got in the car and cried all the way till he got home till I could tell my mama. But he thought it was so amusing in a sense of, like, you lost already. Because, right. you know, you crying, you busting up. It's part of the game. But I'm not knowing it's a whole psychological approach that he was taking and was trying to show me of, you know, keep your calm, keep your cool. This happens in sports.
Looking back on that story, you know, his dad tried to impart on him, like, this is going to happen. You know, it's kind of the old adage that everybody's got a plan until you get hit in the mouth. And DeMar psychologically had already lost and was sort of thrown off his game by this. And I think that, you know, one of the things that his teammates and people give DeMar credit for is just how calm and relaxed and controlled he is under pressure. And I think moments like that taught him, you can't let anybody throw you off your game. Things are going to happen on the court that you weren't ready for, and you got to be able to handle it.
Well, you mentioned DeMar DeRozan's psychology. One of the things I do know about DeMar is that he has spoken about his mental health, about his battles with depression, even before the passing of his dad. How did his father's death affect him in that way?
I think, like, even in the almost year now since it happened, DeMar's still kind of learning how to process and grapple with it. I mean, you know, grief is just so not exact, and everybody deals with it, and it comes in fits and starts.
I'd be lying to you if I didn't say I had days or I had moments where I was like, what, damn, is this ever going to get back to some type of peace where I can lean on sports? Because sports was always that one thing I can lean on and, you know, kind of feel my relief.
You know, his dad used to come to every home game back when he's in Toronto, or they talk over on the phone pretty much after every game or every major decision that DeMar had to make. So, you know, I think that before the season, something that really helped DeMar is he got a tattoo of his father, one of his favorite photos of his father, on his left shoulder.
That's really the main reason why, you know, I got him tatted on me, because it's like, you know, everywhere I go, it's like, you know, he with me, you know what I mean? Like, you can see him clear as day.
You just mentioned that DeMar would lean on his father to navigate, like, the big decisions in his life. So I'm curious, very curious about this past offseason, Jamal, because DeMar DeRozan is a free agent, and he decides to go to the Chicago Bulls. How did he arrive at that call? How did he feel about that call?
There was a chance and a moment there where DeMar thought he was going to go back and play in L.A. You know, the Lakers, he thought he had an offer on the table that he was going to be able to land there before ultimately they decided to make the move for Russell Westbrook. For him, the Bulls ended up checking off so many boxes, having some familiar faces around. Mark Eversley, the Bulls general manager, who used to be in Toronto in the front office when DeMar was there, he flies into L.A. during the offseason to meet with him. Nikola Vucevic was DeMar's college teammate at USC. And then he really just had a group that the Bulls were building that were ready to buy in without egos and compete for a championship and try to win. To go back to another line from his trainer, Chris Farr, which I think is maybe my favorite line in the entire story, in reference to Chicago, as Farr says, he got the hug that he needed when he got there. He was very much looking for a place where he could come in, could be himself. And I think that's why the Bulls have just been such a perfect fit and a perfect landing spot for him.
Coming up, why that fit and that landing spot were even more perfect than you think.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, Jamal, when we talk about the chemistry experiment here in Chicago, it's important to remember that this wasn't obvious. None of this was obvious. I didn't think it was going to go this well. And part of it is because, you know, they have this star who is a ball dominant guy in Zach LaVine, an all-star, a slam dunk contest championship. What is his relationship like with DeMar DeRozan? What was Zach LaVine's reaction when DeMar decided to come to his team?
So Zach is in Tokyo for the Olympics, for playing for Team USA when this goes down in free agency. But his reaction is just elation. I mean, Zach, once he gets back to the States, both him and DeMar live in Southern California. You know, Zach takes a couple of days off, but he drives down to meet DeMar in person. They work out together, probably about 2.5 hours, a long workout. And then they just kind of sit down and talk. And I think, like, one of the things that works for these two dudes is they're very similar. They're very low-key, low-maintenance, chill dudes, and there's not a huge ego. You know, Zach has really come into his own over the past few years in Chicago and really emerged as an all-star, and people have seen the talent. The team keeps losing. And Zach now kind of really feels like, I've got a teammate that's got my back. And it's been reflected on the court. I mean, these guys are 7th and 8th in the NBA in scoring. They allow each other to play off each other when one guy's hot.
Right.
They don't mind deferring. I think the only guys that were not surprised by how well this worked is the two of them. After that first meeting, when they're about to leave, DeMar remembers ending that conversation and telling Zach,
I told him, don't worry about anything. This shit gonna work. Yeah. That's it. That was it. You know what I mean? And that's how we ended one conversation. We never talked about how we gonna make it work again. I just said, like, this shit gonna work.
This shit is gonna work.
So the way in which this shit has worked, the dramatic fashion in which this shit has worked, Jamal, I mean, the end of these Bulls games, it's remarkable, right? Because these are the two guys who conceivably would want the ball. Both of them would want it. But who has been taking the crunch time shots for the Chicago Bulls?
DeMar has been the guy that has stepped forward and really led the Bulls. They just trust him in the fourth quarter because of the calmness, because of his experience in those kind of moments. He leads the NBA in total fourth quarter points. But Zach LaVine is fifth.
Mm.
The last teammates, Pablo, by the way, to be top five in scoring in the fourth quarter, not any of the obvious ones that you might think over the past few years. Kevin Garnett and Sam Cassell for those old Timberwolves teams a million years ago.
But Jamal, there is a similarity here, right? Because when I think of DeMar DeRozan this season now, I think of a guy with enormous cojones, which is also like Sam Cassell's whole deal, right? Like, describe how clutch DeMar has been late in these games.
Look at those two buzzer beaters, right? The first player in NBA history to hit buzzer beaters on back-to-back days. So the first night in Indiana, DeMar's walking the ball up the court with about 9 seconds to go, and you know, he's getting a screen from Vucevic. He's not exactly aware of how much time is on the clock and thought he had a little bit more time to run another play. All of a sudden, he looks up, does not have enough time. And he has to sort of let go of this one-legged heave toward the basket. And that shot goes in.
DeRozan to win it! No! DeMar DeRozan delivers!
And then the next night in D.C., DeMar gets the ball, 3 seconds on the clock, dribbles into the corner. He has the presence to pump fake because he knows he has a rookie guarding him that'll probably bite on his pump fake. And he has another man that is jumping at him, and he's able to just uncork a shot, pay attention to make sure he's got his foot not on the line, not out of bounds, and hit another game winner.
DeRozan, pump fake for the win. Got it again! At the buzzer! DeMar delivers again!
And of course, Pablo, both of these are three-pointers. DeMar DeRozan famously doesn't shoot three-pointers. Both of these buzzer beaters are threes.
Yeah, I didn't know he could do that, to be perfectly blunt with you, man. Like, I didn't think that he had those shots in his game. The shots that I knew he had are the mid-range jumpers. And we had Kirk Goldsberry on this podcast pretty recently to talk about Kevin Durant and how Kevin Durant has become this master of the mid-range. His mid-range jumpers are more valuable in terms of shot efficiency than most players' three-pointers because of his skill at that shot. But DeMar DeRozan, I mean, he might be the king in his own way, right? Like, this is his thing.
It's just the story of DeMar's career, right? Like, what looks like a bad shot for most players is just not actually a bad shot for him. You know, he's been so good at getting to exactly what spot he wants and taking exactly what shot he wants. And really, like Kevin Durant, the defender doesn't feel like it matters a whole lot. You know, he's shooting about as frequently as he did from that mid-range area like he did in Toronto. But, you know, in 2016-17, one of the last times that he took as many mid-range field goals, he was shooting 41% on those looks back in 2016-2017. This season, that's up to 47%, and that's on pace for the highest average of his career.
We should add, Jamal, that DeMar DeRozan is not doing this alone. Like, when I watch this team, they play like they've been playing together for years. So as the beat writer, the guy watching this team night in, night out, in person, what are you seeing? What's impressive about how they've been doing this?
I think so many guys are just in the right role, right? Like, DeMar and Zach are able to lead the offense and lead their respective units, and really kind of everything runs through those guys. On the other end of the floor, you've got Lonzo and Caruso, and they just make life hell.
They're so good.
Nikola Vucevic got out to a slow start, but his last 10 games or so, he's been an automatic double-double, 17 and 10 guy. They just have a rotation and a team right now that all knows exactly how to play off each other.
How does DeMar himself, given all of this, how does he feel about the prospects of his team being able to compete with, say, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, like the conventional favorites in the Eastern Conference down the stretch?
I think the fact that this team came in and just gelled so quickly, so instantly, and find themselves on top of the conference, I think that kind of has him looking even further, right? He's not been to Eastern Conference Finals in years, and I think that he really looks at this as a chance to say, if we get the right health, the right luck, the right timing, he thinks this team has got a chance to get to the finals, and that's sort of the one thing that he hasn't done in his career.
What's the ceiling on this team, man? Like, how considering where y'all are now at this point, like...
I believe championship, man. If we healthy, we got the capability, the talent to do it, you know? Like, why not us? I've been to the Eastern Conference Finals once. It was two games away from the finals. And ain't came close to it since. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you have that opportunity, take full advantage of it. Because like I said, you don't know when it's going to come again.
The last time he made the Eastern Conference Finals, that was back in 2015-16 with the Toronto Raptors. Since then, it seems like he has become, like, you know, not a totally different person, but certainly the best version of himself.
I think he just marvels at it all, right? Not only just the things that he's had to go through on the court, but even off the court. His father passed away. Really close friends, Kobe Bryant, Nipsey Hussle, both of them also pass away. I think after years of just feeling like nothing is going right, DeMar kind of feels like his career's almost kind of come back full circle. He's right back in position to be an all-star, position to win the Eastern Conference again. He's on a team that he can have fun with again. And that makes it a little bit bittersweet to have gone through so much death and so much loss to be back at this point. But I also think that one of the things DeMar said was you have to take a hard route just to get back to the clear path.
We all in our careers take different type of routes. Some of them may not be ideal. And some of them, you got to take a hard route just to get back to the clear path. It's peace for me. I'm just at a peace of just enjoying the game, enjoying life, accepting everything that come with it. For so long, I was like just tensed up trying to figure out like what and why. Now it's like you kind of just let your hair down and just let everything you've been through kind of take over for itself. You know what I mean? The good, the bad, the ugly, everything you endured. The tough times are going to show you something that the good times can't.
Jabal Collier, thank you for clarifying DeMar DeRozan's path with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Pablo.
You can watch DeMar DeRozan and his Bulls host Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern over on ESPN. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.